Welcome to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesch of Flesch Law. Auto accidents, DUIs, slip and falls, each one can change your life. But the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys at Flesch Law relieve your legal burden. Whether you need to heal from an injury or protect your future in a criminal matter, the legal team at Flesch Law is prepared to defend your rights. Now, here's Legal Talk with your host, Scott Whatley, and attorney Kevin Flesch.
Welcome to Legal Talk. My name is Scott Whatley. We are glad you're with us. Our show is brought to you by Flesch Law. 303-806-8886 is the number. Kevin Flesch joins us once again. Mr. Flesch, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, Scott?
I'm good, man.
Good.
Got to spend a little time last week having some fun.
Absolutely, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really nice to be up in Alaska and doing fun stuff up there. But here we are, back at it.
Back at it once again. I mean, it hits quick when you come back to work, doesn't it?
It is.
I mean, you just jump back in and...
Yeah. Especially last week, it was interesting because we came back on Thursday and so worked on Friday. So that one day last week, it was nice actually to get some stuff caught up because we do, you know, in today's technology, you are responding to emails and things like that.
Sure.
In the evening, stuff like that. But otherwise, getting back in the one day last week was nice so that things aren't crazy when you come back on Monday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you've probably seen this. It just started on September 1st here in the Denver area, Waymo, the driverless car system that has come. How many cars they've put out here, I don't really know. I did see this on the news and immediately texted Kevin and said, man, what about insurance? How does all this work? And come to find out, Mr. Flesch has been in a Waymo.
I have. Okay. I have. We were down in Phoenix a few years ago, and they had them down there. They piloted them, I think, in sort of warmer climates that don't have the sort of weather that we have here in Denver pretty early on. And I think it's been a couple of years, Phoenix, San Francisco, a couple other warmer, larger cities. And so they're super interesting. And we're all going to get sort of used to them being around. I mean, it's like when the... when the scooters started to appear and all of the electric bikes, sort of the rental sort of market for all of those things, you're like, what's up with that? This is another one of those things because the vehicles themselves look kind of funky.
Yeah.
And then they have a whole bunch of different devices on the outside of the vehicle that would, because they need to have all of those sensors so that they can react to things that are in the environment. And so it was, so we were down there. And we just happened, we used regular rideshare to get from our hotel to the restaurant downtown Phoenix. And then while we're sitting there having dinner, looking out the window, we keep seeing these strange looking cars that are driving around with nobody in them other than passengers in the back.
Right.
And so we were talking with our server and did a little research online and realized that you'd have to get the app. And then so we tried it going home, and it was quite strange. I think the best way to describe it for your first time doing it is it's sort of like a Disney ride. I mean, you feel like you're getting into a roller coaster and losing all control. At least both my wife and I felt that way.
Right.
But yeah, you on the app, much like the other rideshare, it has a GPS function from your phone, so it knows where you're at, and then you tell them where you want to go. And then the app then communicates with you and the car as to where to meet. And then you meet at that location, and then there's a code that you get from Waymo that you put in. The car is locked, and then once you put the code in and it verifies it's you, then the vehicle opens. And then you get in the back of the vehicle, and then the vehicle talks to you a little bit about who you are and confirms, you know, some information. In our particular ride, it also would give you the opportunity to decide what music you wanted to listen to, those sorts of things. And then you're off. You get in the back, and away you go, and there's nobody sitting in the front seat. It sort of reminded me, oh, and this is dating me, but, you know, those old movies with the airplane movies, you know, where they had the autopilot, and sort of blows up and
comes on. Yeah.
You think that something like that would happen, but it doesn't. There's nobody in the vehicle. And so our ride, I mean, was through downtown traffic. The vehicle was making sure that the pedestrians that were walking by in this crosswalk, so that it didn't hit those. And then also we turned left on a stoplight and regular traffic and moved in different lanes. So it was quite surprising how well it worked. And we had the conversation while we were doing it, sort of, you know, is this really how things are going to progress in our lives? And I think it is.
Yeah.
Much like AI, I think we're going to get some autonomous vehicles, especially in Colorado, now that they've figured out. It'll be interesting to see what happens with weather. My guess is that when we have weather issues, that these vehicles won't run or won't run as regularly. So they're probably not something that you want to rely on when we have a big snowstorm. But it will be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. A friend of mine just bought a truck recently, and it has, I forgot the exact name of it, but it's a Chevy, and has a system in it where, you know, you can, and it kind of makes sure your eyes are always up and different things like that. But
you don't have to have your hands on the wheel.
Yeah, you don't have to have your hands on the wheel and everything. But we've all seen, been sitting at a light or something where you see a motorcycle blows a light or a car blows a light, and you just wonder how fast of reaction.
Yeah.
You know, you were telling me before we came on air that, you know, it seems all the sensors and, boy, it doesn't do anything really quickly.
Right.
But you think when it's driving, a light turns green, maybe you're the third car, and then all of a sudden somebody blows something.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think that that's going to be the interesting part of this. This sort of experiment that we're running with now. I mean, you think about the vehicles now. I have a vehicle too. Same thing, where as long as you have the hand, as long as the wheel of the vehicle can feel that you have a hand there and that you're controlling things a little bit, it does drive. I mean, we've got a Kia that will do that. And driving through Nebraska, since there aren't many turns on I-80 across Nebraska,
that's true.
It's pretty convenient. But I was in a vehicle recently. It was a Subaru that I was in recently that there was an eye monitor somehow that was really annoying, because it's always watching your eyes to see where your eyes are. But sometimes you're looking over, you know, just to the left at whatever. It's not anything that you're distracted in any way. And it'll say where, you know, it'll blink or it'll give you a beep like your eyes aren't on the road. But it is. But so we're going to see all of these sort of technologies and decide what we want to do with it as we progress here. But this Waymo is a really interesting situation. So they started September 1st sort of commercially, regularly having passengers, that passengers can start using these vehicles. There was actually the first Waymo, at least in Denver, the first accident that a Waymo was involved in on August 27th. And this is what it reads about this incident. So the unoccupied Waymo came to a stop at a travel location west of 8th Avenue near Delaware Street, near Denver Health. There was no intersection, no stop sign, no crosswalk. An individual stopped his van behind the Waymo. Seconds later, another driver, so the third driver, car hit the van. So because they were sort of in the middle of an intersection or anything else, but the van had stopped, the third car rear-ended the second car, which rear-ended the Waymo. So airbags were deployed, and both drivers walked away with minor injuries. Both were left with the same question asked on the camera, like, what do I do to explain to my insurance company how this happened? The third vehicle was cited for following too closely, because the police officer thought that even because the Waymo had stopped theoretically for a pedestrian in the road, that the third party should have been able to stop their car in time and not cause this accident. The question is whether or not the Waymo vehicle was correct in the way that it handled the situation, if it really needed to stop, and whether there was really a pedestrian in the roadway. That's what the argument is going to be about. So it's sort of interesting, because everything, much like a Tesla, everything is probably recorded around the vehicle. So there should be good footage of what exactly took place and what that vehicle was reacting to. So that'll be interesting. Because just what you're talking about with regard to the person that blows through the red light, or, you know, just a human driver doing something that's negligent by itself.
Right.
How does this vehicle react to it?
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, in the very short period of time that I was in the vehicle, my experience was, I think the vehicle, a Waymo vehicle, will not react. In other words, it'll stop or take some evasive action to be less maybe aggressive than a human would be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's going to be the interesting thing as to whether or not, how all of these cases kind of transpire. But you would be able to make, really interesting. So here's a situation in which a Waymo vehicle may be at fault for what took place. We don't know yet. But that's the first one. Interestingly enough, the legislature had been talking about driverless vehicles a while ago. And in fact, there was legislation that was passed in 2017 dealing with autonomous vehicles. And so there's actually a statute already in place. It is, let's see if I can get the statute here. Yeah, it's 42.4.242. And it's permits an automated driving system to operate a vehicle if the system can comply with applicable state and federal law. And what is important is liability for a crash involving an automated driving system driving a motor vehicle that is not under human control is determined in accordance with applicable state and federal law or common law. So what does that mean?
Yeah.
It means that the individual who maybe gets hurt by one of these vehicles, the standard is the same whether or not it's a human or a robot
right,
driving
yeah.
the vehicle. But what you have to prove is the person that was hit by this vehicle is that the computer fell below the standard of care. Essentially, that they were negligent in the way that they handled this particular situation and that it was foreseeable that this could happen. So it is going to be a bit more complicated because I think there's going to have to be some, maybe an expert relating to computers and the way that these things are handled mm-hmm. to make the claim against it. So it's going to be a super interesting process in which lawyers in Colorado move these claims forward. And how the insurance company that's representing Waymo defends these cases.
Right.
Because they could be pretty expensive to move forward depending upon the experts that you'll need after the normal things are happening with regard to treatment and loss of wages and all of those sorts of things.
Right. You're listening to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesch. Again, September 1st started the Waymo, the driverless car, and we're just kind of going through some of the things that want you to know about this. You know, are you at risk about insurance, different things like that. So it's going to, like I say, it's going to be interesting. I'm going to have to do one, get in one just to see what it's like.
Yeah.
And everything.
It's really an interesting process. Everybody should try it just to see what they think about it. I mean, it's much like anything else new that we sort of have show up technology-wise. It's just an interesting process.
Right. So would it be a deal? I come in to you and I say, hey, I was in this Waymo, and this accident happened. Would you want to see a report from Waymo even before you took a case?
So that's sort of the next step is what happens after this happens. So, obviously, if you're super hurt, or if you think you need emergency care, call 911.
Sure,
get authorities there. But interestingly enough, as well, the Waymo vehicle should detect some sort of interaction with another vehicle or some sort of incident, and that should be a call into their main sort of where they deal with these sorts of issues, and their support team should immediately do things to preserve evidence relating to the crash. So that's the first thing, and just keep that in mind. The other thing is, just like any other incident involving a crash like this, you'll want to call the police and make a police report.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have the police come out and deal with it, even if you're not significantly injured or anything else. You're going to want to make sure that there's a police report that's made. The other thing that is interesting is the Waymo vehicle may just take off. You don't know how it's going to react. If it doesn't think that anything has happened, if it hasn't caused a sensor to believe that there's been an incident, that Waymo vehicle may just take off. So you may want to, after a collision, the vehicle may keep driving to reach a safe stopping spot. A lit dome light signals that the Waymo driver knows an event occurred. So if you see that the dome light is on in the vehicle, that is an indicator that they know something has taken place. Note the direction it goes and its plate number. So again, if it's just a fender bender, for example, and you don't have any personal injuries, but you know that you want to make a claim against them for the property damage, follow that vehicle so that you can make a report.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, if you can photograph the plate and the vehicle's markings, then you'll have to make a claim with Waymo. They will then go back and see what they have for video evidence. But you'll want to do that quite quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what if you're starting to get out of the car and all of a sudden the car starts taking off?
It very well could happen. Yeah, so you don't have to get out of the car other than to take pictures.
Right.
Because there's nobody to to talk to. There isn't going to be it. You can't knock on the window and have a support team, I don't think, have a support team talk with you at all.
Yeah. Now, let's say you're sitting at a red light in a Waymo and somebody rear-ends you.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be considered just like a normal traffic accident in that case?
Exactly.
If the Waymo certainly was not at fault in any way?
Correct. Yeah, so that's a really good question. Will the Waymo then just pull over and allow you to get out and get the information from the other driver? I would hope it would. That's something that you're just going to have to figure out. That's a really good question. I would think there'd be a support on the app, like, hey, we were just in a fender bender, stop the vehicle so that you could get out and get information relating to the other vehicle, where it's not a Waymo problem.
Right.
Yeah, but those are the things that, I mean, you have to be safe. I assume that'll let you out of the vehicle. I don't think that they automatically lock the doors and don't let you out. So you'd be able to get out at the next stop.
Huh.
Yeah.
Man.
All interesting things. Super interesting. The same thing is, think about in a regular car accident, you're going to want to get any witnesses to what took place as well. So that's going to be on you, because undoubtedly the Waymo will have video evidence of what took place, but they won't have any ID or anything like that. There's not facial recognition that I'm aware of anybody that's in the area. You'll have to work on that and get that taken care of on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that you definitely want to think about, because you're going to be on your own for making those claims and getting those people involved in helping you.
And you would think they would carry a decent policy.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Waymo, my understanding is that it's much like any other rideshare, that it's probably $1 million of coverage that they'll have relating to the vehicle itself and the company. I mean, it's a big company. It's, you know, I think it's owned by Alphabet or one of the, you know, it's a big tech company that owns it. So they're going to make sure that they cover their exposure relating to these sorts of things.
Have you had any interesting cases with these rideshare?
Yeah, we've had a number of them. In fact, I've got one that we're really working on right now that was a rideshare that was actually hit by somebody else. That there's a variety of issues that come into play with the rideshares. It's what, you know, the same sort of thing as a regular car accident. If the driver of the rideshare vehicle, the one that you're driving in, is the one at fault, that's the primary focus.
Right.
You have significant injuries, the one case that I have has significant injuries, we have a number of limits relating to the at-fault parties, and then we also have significant underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage. So hopefully we'll have enough limits. I don't think that's going to be an issue. It's just going to be the division of who's more at fault throughout the process of determining liability. My clients were actually passengers, so they didn't have any ability to control the situation, but there were three vehicles involved, so we've got to figure out exactly who was at fault for the injuries that were caused by the incident. But yes, there, you know, and it's like I mean, we had that strange case a few years ago where the motorcycle, remember the motorcycle was rear-ended?
Right.
The woman that was sitting in the back of the rideshare vehicle and broke out the back windshield and all of that. I mean, that wasn't really the rideshare company's fault.
Right.
But we did have issues relating to underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage in that case because of her injuries and the small policy that the motorcyclist had relating to to their vehicle that really caused the majority of the damage.
Right.
So those things, you know, if anyone is out there that gets involved in these sorts of situations, are, I mean, it's almost always that you're a passenger. You handle them just like any other claim. That's true. I had the other claim that I had a number of years ago was the rideshare driver that hit the cow down in Douglas County.
Oh,
That was super interesting, whether or not livestock on the roadway is a whole other sort of interesting twist about, in Colorado, whether or not the livestock was properly within fences, how they got on the roadway, and then you just got the issue of what color was the cow in, you know, and it was a dark night, and whether or not a black cow on the roadway is something that any driver should expect. So there's lots of issues that can come up with regard to these sorts of cases when you're talking about a rideshare company and just the strange things that happen on the roadway. Mm-hmm. And that's why these Waymos are going to be so interesting to see. Whether, I haven't heard of any that are outside sort of normal urban areas, because I think that's almost more controlled than, let's say, driving out on the eastern plains and you have, you know, or up in the mountains where you have a bear or an elk or something else.
I wonder if you can get in one and say, take me to Breckenridge.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
that's something that
or if it's like you say.
Yeah, I think they have a. Actually, I do know that. I think there's a specific sort of. It's a 60 square mile zone.
Okay.
That they've opened up. So it includes downtown Lodo, Capitol Hill, Cherry Creek, Coors Field, Ball Arena, and Empower Field. And so that's sort of the area. So it's within the Denver, kind of what you think of as the Denver metro
area.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Again, you're listening to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesch, 303-806-8886, always a free initial consult. No matter what, you know, we're asking about what their insurance coverage is. Do you know your insurance coverage? That is something you need to know. So, Kevin, let's kind of touch on that a little bit. You know, folks need to pull out their policies, and, you know, most of the time we're just trusting our agent and we renew year after year, and we don't really think about our life, maybe how's it changed? Have we added a teenage driver, whatever the case may be? So what about some insurance thoughts here?
Yeah, so absolutely. So the rideshare issues have sort of resolved themselves relating to policy limits. You don't have to worry about those when you're in that vehicle, when they're a passenger in that vehicle. But it's always really important every year, annually, to really look at your assets, what you have, what you're willing to risk relating to getting into a car accident. There's a number of different types of limits with regard to your insurance policies. What we think of as the sort of the state minimum limits is relating to bodily injury coverage, and that bodily injury coverage is related to if you hit somebody, what is it that they could get from you in the way of a judgment, and what is it that your insurance company would pay as a limit. So the state limit is $25,000 minimum, which is really nothing anymore, right?
I mean, do you ever see that change? What would it take for that to change? Because it's ridiculously low.
It is ridiculously low. I think the reason that it hasn't changed is because, as we know, there's about a third of the population that still doesn't have car insurance on a regular basis. And so I think the legislature's thought relating to that is that if it's so low and we still only have two-thirds of the people complying with the statute, if we raised it, that would probably increase. So we'd then have 50% or 60%. So that's why I think it hasn't been changed. But at any rate, it is low, but it is the minimums. But that doesn't mean that's what you get.
Sure.
I mean, for any of us, I think, that are in a situation where you own a home and you have some equity in the home and you have some other assets, you have to consider those things. And most people would at least have a 100, 300 limit, which is sort of 100 per person, 300 for the total accident. That's gonna deal with the majority of the claims that are caused. You know, the other thing is that cars just in general, I think, are safer today with all of the safety things, the airbags and everything else, and seatbelts, all of the things. And they're just made different to protect the occupants in the vehicles. I think over the last 30 years, that's what I've certainly seen is in regards to vehicles and how the impact upon them reduces the human impact inside of the vehicle. They just are engineered better to protect us.
Right.
But there's still obviously lots of times where people get hurt and significantly hurt. So those are those things you need to think about when making a determination relating to your limits regarding bodily injury coverage, because that really takes care of you in the event that you do something negligent to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You've then got sort of your MedPay coverages, and we've talked at length about that. That's sort of changed over time. It all depends on what your health insurance copays are and what it is that you want to are willing to take on for risk for paying out of pocket. But a lot of our insurance companies now, car insurance, will give you know, I think $5,000 was sort of the minimum MedPay, but it'll go up to $100,000 now relating to MedPay. And it all depends, again, how much you want to insure relating to that gap in coverage regarding your health insurance. If you don't have health insurance, this may be a good place that you buy extra just to make sure something happens in a car accident, that you have the ability to use that.
And is the right phrase to use that? That's kind of, I mean, that's kind of free money you never have to pay back?
Correct.
I mean, right?
Yeah, it is. It's exactly that. So there's no subrogation right for the insurance company to get repaid that. So in cases where we represent lots of folks that have MedPay, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 in MedPay, it's like a little savings account for you. And you want to kind of keep that close to your vest. You don't want to immediately give that to the ER, because the ER loves MedPay, because other insurance they have contracts with, and so they may get reduced rates relating to the contractual agreements that they have with those health insurers. MedPay most of the time doesn't, and so they pay the amount billed, which may be 50-75% more than what they would actually pay if they had a contract with the health provider. Same thing with the ambulance. So those, you know, ambulance rides that are $1,800, $2,500, $3,000 billed, again, they get a reduced rate depending upon their contract with the health insurer, with Medicare, Medicaid. Those are things that you don't want to give them your MedPay information, because they'll suck up that money real quickly. And you can use that money later for your prescriptions and for other copays that maybe you didn't really, you weren't ready to pay,
right,
that you may be able to get reimbursed for through MedPay. And then you don't have to pay it back when you get the case resolved.
Right.
It's one of those things where those monies are gone from the insurance company. They won't be able to get any reimbursement, which is a fantastic deal as well.
Sure.
Because remember, your health insurance pays all your medical bills, generally speaking, if you have it. Then we negotiate on the back end when we get the case resolved. Let's say you have $25,000 of medical expenses billed, but they only paid $5,000 of that. We then have the ability, when we settle the case, to negotiate that $5,000, mm-hmm, so that then you pay a less amount by reimbursing them for that.
Right.
And those are all things that we can help with. But getting back to the insurance,
sure,
the last thing that you have to consider is the underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage that you have. That's insurance for you,
right,
when individuals who don't have insurance or have these minimum limits hit you, and then you need additional coverage. And you want to buy as much as that as you can afford.
Sure. Yeah. So MedPay, take a look at.
Mm-hmm.
Uninsured, underinsured.
Yep.
Three big categories.
Exactly.
There.
Exactly.
Well, it's going to be interesting, and hey, if you get into a Waymo and you have an interesting story, let us know here at the station. We'll get you on, and or if you hear of anything, and it's going to be interesting. I'm going to try to do that over the next few weeks and just see what it's like.
Yeah, I think as people use them, especially I would say users of technology that maybe aren't real sophisticated, and I would say I'm in that camp, it was actually quite simple to get it set up and do it for the first time. And quite seamless. I mean, you don't have to tip a driver or anything else. But you do have to get it set up ahead of time, and then make sure your GPS is on so that they know where you're at.
Yeah. And was the fee kind of alike an Uber?
I think
whatever?
It was a little bit cheaper, but it was very comparable.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Pretty interesting.
Yep.
Kevin, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesh. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, folks, always a free initial consult on your legal matter with Flesh Law. 303-806-8886. We'll be right back.
Call now for a free consultation with Flesh Law, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886, or visit fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H, fleshlawfirm.com. A proven team dedicated to your legal needs.